Hosea.
Three verses of scripture out of Hosea chapter number 2. Hosea chapter number 2 says, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. I will give her her vineyards from hence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be that at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shalt call me no more Baali. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. You may be seated. I'll give you the title, and we're going to dive into the Word. A door of hope in a valley full of mistakes. A door of hope in a valley full of mistakes. Groomsmen stand at attention as the music begins to play. The bride begins her long walk down the aisle, arm in arm with her father. The smiling but nervous husband-to-be follows her every step. With eyes brimming with love, then happy tears are shed, vows are stated, and families are merged. A wedding is a joyous celebration of love. It is a holy mystery of two becoming one, of beginning of life together, and a lifelong commitment. Marriage is ordained by God and illustrates His relationship with His people. Thus, there is perhaps no greater tragedy than the violation of the vows of a holy marriage. God here told Hosea to find a wife and revealed to him ahead of time that she would be unfaithful to him. I don't know about you, but if God told me to go down to one of the houses of ill repute today and take a woman there, buy her, and take her home to wife, I don't know if I could do that and say also that that was going to be my wife and to know that she would eventually become unfaithful if I could do that. So my hat is off, so to speak, to the prophet Hosea for him to know that his wife was going to be unfaithful. I know this morning, because of the parallels in which I am going to preach from today, it is going to cause some great discomfort amongst some of us, and it should. But I also want you to know that it is the heartbeat of God, and He shows us a great story and mystery of His love toward us. Although she would bear him children, some of these offspring would be fathered also by others. In obedience to God, he honors the marriage with Gomer. His relationship with her, her adultery, and their children became a living and prophetic example of Israel. The book of Hosea, I'm just giving you a synopsis here, a short highlights. The book of Hosea is a love story, real, tragic, and true, transcending the tale of a young man and wife. It tells of God's love for his people and the response of his bride. A covenant has been made, and God had been faithful. His love was steadfast, his commitment unbroken. But Israel, like Gomer, was adulterous, unfaithful, and dismissing of God's love, turning instead to false gods. Then after warning of the judgment, God reaffirmed his love and offered reconciliation. His love and mercy were overflowing, yet at the same time, his justice would be served. This book begins with God's marriage instructions to Hosea. After Hosea's marriage, the children are born, each given a name signifying a divine message. Then in chapter 2, as predicted, Gomer leaves Hosea to pursue after her own lusts, after her own desire. But Hosea, whose name means salvation, found her and redeemed her and brought her home again. Fully reconciled by chapter 3, images of God's love, of God's judgment, grace, and mercy were woven into their relationship. Next, God outlines his case against his people Israel. Their sins would ultimately cause their destruction. Through chapter 4 through 6, it would arouse his anger, resulting in punishment. Chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, 12, and 13. But even in the midst of Israel's immorality and unfaithfulness, God would be merciful and offer hope, expressing his infinite love for his people in chapter 11, and the fact that their repentance would bring about a blessing from the Almighty in chapter number 14. The book of Hosea dramatically portrays our God's constant and persistent love. As we read and as we preach here today from this book, we will see that the prophet submits himself willingly to God's will, yet grieves because of the unfaithfulness of his wife, but feels the heartbeat of God with the unfaithfulness of God's people. He preaches judgment. He preaches clear direction. And not only those things, but he preaches about God's faithful love and return unto his people. This morning in our opening text, I read to you a portion that is very, very inspiring to me. There has been many times in most of our lives where we have set out to do certain things and even realizing that it may not turn out the way we want them, we're fully set in our way to do it. Regardless of what anybody thinks, regardless of what anybody says, regardless of the warning that we hear. Not only that, we don't really care about how it affects anybody else or how it hurts anybody else. We are just determined to have our own way. Amen. It is a sad state to... You know, I don't know why that speaker ain't working. I thought I was unbalanced here. It is a sad state of affairs to know that God's people do this often to him. That they don't care who it affects and how it hurts them, but they're fully set to walk after the own lust of their eyes, of their flesh, and the pride of their life. Amen. Perhaps instead of listening to those parents or close friends giving you wisdom and instruction and knowledge, those individuals just go ahead and let you go, because you will not heed the voice of wisdom. Amen. You will not heed the voice of wisdom. And then perhaps you've been on the other side of that and come back and realized the folly of your way, the error of your way. Thank God that in His mercy, He still loved us and reached out to us and cared for us again. Another setting of scripture in Hosea that I specifically want to read this morning said in verse chapter 4 and verse number 6, it said, My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. I've heard that preached many, many times before, and I've always heard it just almost stop right there. But it goes on and it says, because thou hast rejected knowledge. The fact of the matter is you don't lack knowledge because you haven't heard. You lack knowledge because you have rejected it. It's not because you don't know better or you don't understand, but it's because you had made a conscious choice to reject the instruction and the wisdom of God. Amen. Well, also the scripture said, reject thee, not because you didn't know any better, but because you made a conscious choice to reject me. Right. I will reject you, that thou shalt no more be a priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. Notice the word, the choice of words. Thou hast forgotten the law of God. In other words, again, you knew the word of God. You had it in your mind, but you have forgotten it. I believe today, like so many of us, we say, oh, I forgot. But really, we didn't forget. We made a choice to let that just fade from our memory, because we did not want to do. We did not want to go. So we made a choice to forget. A choice to put it out of our mind. Then God said there, I will also forget thy children. Because you made a choice to forget about me, I'll make a choice to forget about you. When your trouble comes, when your despair comes, we'll see who you go crying to then. We'll see who forgets what.
Right.
You say, this sounds like a pretty mean setting. I want to tell you, I feel such a mixed emotion here this morning. This has been on me for the last couple of days, extremely upon me yesterday. I have been, even in the middle of the night and very early this morning, this has been stirring on me. And I say to you this morning that I feel very mixed, because I feel like there's potential of the father standing on the porch watching his son come home, that he declares, hey, kill the fatted calf, it's time to party, it's time to rejoice, because my son that was dead is now alive. But then on the other hand, I feel the other portion, where there are those that have made a conscious choice and a conscious decision to reject God, to put Him away and follow after their own lusts. I feel the fierce anger of the Lord. And at the same time, I feel the same fierce compassion and love of God that says, even though I'm angry, I love you with an everlasting love. Even though I'm frustrated, burning with your decisions. I've got a burning desire to allure you again, to bring you back to myself. I'm not going to let you go easy. So much hardship, so much disappointment it takes to wake us up in order for us to come to our senses. God was so much in love with Israel. Israel was the apple of God's eye. This story here is most moving and most passionate in God's illustration of his love, yet of his pain and anguish. Amen. This story really touches the lives and homes of our current generation, of our current place in time today, where there is much separation in homes and in families. There is great division in homes and in families, much strife, much anger, much hurt, much pain, where husbands and wives are not getting along, where a flame of passionate fire once dwelled, now is jealousy and resentment. A loving relationship has now turned to a smoldering pile of ashes. Dreams have been broken and dashed to pieces. Many cry in bitterness of tears. Why? How could this happen to me? Oh, this is so painful. But the truth is this morning that sin wrecks people's lives. Sin wrecks homes. Sin is selfish. Sin destroys marriages. Sin destroys relationships. Sin is a destroyer. Children of the next generation of broken homes are much more susceptible, or they suffer more because of these great losses in a family, in a marriage. A mother and father they no longer have. They're destroyed, and they don't even know really what a right relationship is. They really don't understand what a home of peace is, because daddy's coming home mad and cussing and screaming at the wife, maybe even abusing his wife, and she's curling up in a ball and just being taking it in, and then suffering emotionally and mentally and even physically. And then the boys of that home, they grow up and they think that that is acceptable. And girls grow up and they think that that's what marriage is about. They think that that's what a relationship is all about. But I'm here to tell you, friend, that's a lie from the pit of hell that has destroyed so many lives, that has destroyed so many families.
Yeah, right.
And furthermore, it doesn't have to be that way.
Right.
Yeah. Here we find the bitter fighting in this Bible story of God's love and Israel's adultery. We find a woman packing her bags, leaving her husband. She even states to him at one portion that you're just not good enough. You haven't given me everything that I have desired. He does not meet her expectations anymore. She gets an eye for something more glamorous, for something different. Amen. Sometimes that ideology that the grass is greener on the other side. I can't tell you how many times I have seen animals standing in belly tall green lush grass with their neck through the fence, eating thistles on the other side of the fence. There's something inside of humanity that always thinks the grass is greener on the other side.
Right.
And let me tell you, if we're not careful, as the people of God, we'll buy into to that lie of the devil, and we'll think that the world has something better to offer. We'll think that the world has something glorious. We'll think that there's something better than what we are living.
Amen.
But I also will tell you that the Bible remains true, and it said that there is pleasure in sin, but it didn't stop there. It's only for a season. It's only for a little while, and your high is going to come crashing down, and your drug-induced ways are going to fall. Your fornicating ways are going to come to naught. That man, that woman that you thought was going to be the answer to your desires will fade away. They won't be good enough either like the next one, because the problem is not everybody else. The problem is you. It's your heart. It's your desire. It's your lust that is driving you to insanity.
Right.
That's what was going on in here. She thought that she would be happier. Amen. He's got everything, she says, that I want. She even goes as far to say, as he really loves me. And she says, I'm leaving. Goodbye. And there stands a shocked, hurt, greatly sorrowful man who cannot seem to change her mind. Although he's tried many times, he watches her pack her bags and walk out the door. And here we read what happened to a man, which parallels what Israel did to God. God wanted the prophet Hosea to feel what he felt, so he could preach with passion, so he could preach and understand the fullness and the dynamic of God's heartbeat. I am thankful today, and especially this last week, my wife and I spent much time together in prayer and in fasting. And as we laid in bed on Friday night, I turned to her and I said, I don't know what it is, babe, but we're so close in our relationship already. But something this week feels like it's been strengthened so much more, so much greater than it has been in the past, because there has been some places in the spirit that her and I have got to walk together. So it's not only in the spirit, but it is in the flesh. And as God begins to grow and nurture our relationship, I would never want that to go away. I would never want that to be demolished or destroyed. But I do know it can happen to me as well it can happen to anybody in this room.
Right.
And it would only take some time of selfishness. It only take but a moment of some lust of my own flesh, the lust of her own flesh, the pride of our life, our own desires to turn ourselves away from the one that we truly love and that we are committed to. I'm glad that God did not choose me to walk Hosea's life. But I do believe that in the spirit, I can say I feel the heartbeat of God to a certain degree. Now hear me this morning. God didn't give up easy. God's love knows no bounds. Oh, hallelujah. He keeps reaching and he keeps on pleading. I understand that even though the word this morning may fall upon deaf ears, ears that have turned from the knowledge of God, they have rejected the knowledge of God, they are willing to sit here but drown everything else out and then bring all the other things that don't matter in. I understand that Hosea preached to those type of people, but they're still being held accountable for those words. I'm preaching today for those that may not even be here. Amen. I'm preaching today because the word of God needs to be declared that he loves you and he's pleading your case and he's pleading your cause.
Yeah.
Right. While some people call it judgment, really the Bible uses that terminology in places. But everywhere I look at that word judgment, or many of the places that I look at that word judgment, it really equates to teaching. It really equates to teaching and preaching and getting an understanding. He says in our opening scripture, I will allure thee. I will allure thee. I will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably, oh God, unto her. I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And it shall be in that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishai and no more Baalai. Israel, of course, was unfaithful, a spiritual adulteress, caught in the very act, repulsive to God, and by all rights, God should have judged her. But we hear him alluring her. We hear her attracting her. We hear her trying again to court her. We hear him draw her to himself again. He says, I will speak comfortably to her. I will speak words of love to her. I will romance her over again. Why? Because I can't give up on my love for her. God steps into that place of reconciliation and he says, come on, let's get away for a little while. Come on, let's go and be alone and spend some time together where nobody else is around. I'm telling you today, as much as it is in the physical right to just shut everything out and be intimate with the one that you love, it is right for you to shut everything out in a place of prayer and be intimate with the one that you love. Where nothing takes away from you. I'm going to tell you something today. It's been bothering me for a whole week. I watched some of your parents and you're more concerned about that baby. And grandparents alike. You're more fussing over that kid and watching them and whatever. That kid ain't no more going to hurt anything than a man on the moon. And so you spend 45 minutes, an hour, in a place of prayer, getting nowhere because of that kid. Do you realize, I think the devil pinches some of your kids on purpose. And you're so overwhelmed with watching that kid. I've watched you the last week, and I've watched how they have distracted you when you didn't need to touch that kid, when you didn't need to do anything with that kid. When you took that kid out, that kid is training you. You're not training that kid. That kid is training you. I get to go out if I misbehave. I get to go do this if I misbehave. I get to run the house. I'm going to tell you, some of y'all parents need to get a backbone and teach that kid no.
Right.
Stay in the house of God. Amen. Well, we're trying to keep him quiet. Blah, blah, blah. Well, teach him how to be quiet.
Amen.
Oh, go ahead. Get that.
Amen.
I don't really care. I don't really care. They don't matter. They don't matter. I'm telling you, you're allowing your children to be a distraction from you getting into an intimate place with God. And don't tell me you're getting into an intimate place with God at home. Because I know you're not praying at home like you can at church. I know that to be true.
Amen.
Right.
So don't say you're going off and you're finding another time and another place to be intimate with God. So this opportunity, I wish somebody would help. Baby, would you help me preach?
Amen.
Would you help me pray right now? Because there's so much resistance in the church right now. It's just making me, it's making me aggravated, but it sure is making me want to preach that much harder.
It's all right.
Yeah.
But some of you ought to be saying, amen, that's right. I'll work on it, preacher. I'll work on it, pastor. Because you got my best interest in mind. You got me in mind. You want to see me saved. You want to see my grandkids. nervous and says, yeah, I want to hear what's right. It may bother me and it may run me the wrong way, but get me in the right direction. I got to be saved.
Hallelujah.
He said, come on, let's get alone.